on to Mishnah Tess with even more levels. Bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach mekodesh mimena. In between the ulam and the mizbeach is more mekodesh. What's this area of the Beis HaMikdash? So we know when a person walks into the Azara, as we adjusted in the previous Mishnah, there's Eretz Yisrael, then Esrus Kaihanim, a little bit in front of him is going to be the mizbeach, and then further, deeper into the Azara, you have a space, and then the ulam, which is the first part of the main structure of the Beis HaMikdash. That's whenever you see the pictures, you see this very tall building. The beginning of it is the ulam. So in between the ulam and the mizbeach is a higher level kedusha. What's that? She'ein bali mum nepurei rush l'chassal l'sham. A kohen is bal mum. He has a blemish, or he doesn't have his hair cut properly, so they're not allowed to go there. In other words, that means only particular kohen were allowed to be doing avodah are allowed to be there. Next level, ha'heichol mekudesh mimenu. The heichol is more mekudesh than that. The heichol is where the mizbeach hazav and the menorah and the shulchan are in. That's inside the actual building part of the Beis HaMikdash. That's more mekudesh in what way? She'ein nechol l'sham shalay ruchotzidan raglayim. A kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet yet from the kiyar is not allowed to go inside the heichol. Now, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kodesh Mehem, the Kodesh Kadoshim is more Mekodesh than them. She'ein Echaz Hashem El Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim B'Shas HaAvodah. The only one that's allowed in there is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he's doing Avodah. Besides for that, no one's allowed in the Kodesh Kadoshim. He says, B'Chamisha Dvarim Bein Ulam HaMizbeach Shav L'Heichal. There are five things that the area between the Ulam HaMizbeach are similar to the Heichal. What are those? She'ein Bal Himumim U'Purei Rosh Shesuye Yayin V'Shalay Ruchot Sudan V'Raglayim N'Chasal Masham. That a Bal Mom, a Kohen who doesn't have his haircut properly, a Kohen who drank wine, a kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet, they're not allowed to go in this whole area, meaning not just into the heichal, but also in between the ulam and the mizbeach, and also uparshin mibeinu ulam lamizbeach b'shas haktara. At the time of bringing the ketores, everyone has to leave the area between the ulam and the mizbeach. The pasuk tells us that when the ketores is being brought, that no one's allowed to be in the oil ma'id, no one's allowed to be in the room where the ketores is brought. So that means that on a daily basis, when the ketores is brought twice during the day, in the morning and in the afternoon, in the heichal on the mizbeach hazav, not only are kaihanim not allowed to be in the Heichal or in the Ulam, they're not allowed to be in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach as well. Now from here until Parak Yod, we're going to be learning about Klei Cheres, earthenware kalim, or pottery, some people call it, and as an introduction, this first Mishnah discusses different kalim and their ability, or lack thereof, to become Tameh. Now important to note, when the Mishnah says Tahar or Tameh, it doesn't actually mean that the Kli is now Tameh, or that it was Tameh and then became Tahar. These terms are simply the way to describe whether Kli can even become Tameh in the first place. So Tahar means that it's not royal lekabel toma, can't become tame, and tame means that it is royal lekabel toma. So Mishnah tells us klei etz, wooden kalim, uklei ar, and kalim made out of leather, animal hide, uklei etzim, and kalim made out of bones of animals, uklei zchuches, or glass kalim, pshutehem tahirin, umekablehem tameim. This is very important. Pshutein means it is flat, mekablehem means it has a base kibul. In other words, starting with the second one first, a kli can only become tame if it has a base kibul, if it has a receptacle. Classic example would be a cup. A cup has a base kibul. You can place things into it, so it could be mekabel toma. As opposed to if it's pashut, if it's flat, such as a cutting board, it doesn't have a lip or a rim around it, it's just a flat piece of whatever it is, so that cannot be mekabel toma. Now let's say it did become tame, nishbaru, taheru, it then broke, so now it's tahar, because it's not considered a kli anymore, so it lost its status of toma. In other words, this kli that was tame, then now broke into pieces, those pieces are tahar, because they're not a kli anymore. Let's say chazar osman kalim, he went and made them into a kli again, he glued them together, or made them into a different kli, so mekabel toma mikanu laba, it can now be mekabel toma from here and on. In other words, it doesn't regain its original status of toma, it's now considered a brand new kli, so only from here and on it's able to be mekabel toma. Moving on to different grouping of kalim, klei cheres uklei neser, tumasan shave, earthenware kalim, and klei neser, which is other type of kalim made out of a different type of earth, their toma is the same, namely number one, mistamin umetamin ba'avir, they become tame and give off toma in their airspace. In other words, klei cheres are unique in that they could become tameh even though the toma didn't actually touch them. Let's say you have a dead sheretz which is dangled into the airspace of the kli. That makes the kli tameh like that even though it never touched the kli. By that same token, if the kli is tameh and there's something placed into its airspace, even though that thing didn't touch the kli, it becomes tameh because the kli is tameh. Then number two, regarding klei cheres, umetamin me'achirehen, those become tameh from the bottom. The achar over here refers to the bottom. Now this is specifically referring to when the bottom of the kli has a receptacle, it has a base kibul. Probably the best way you can imagine this without looking at any pictures is the bottom of a wine bottle. If you ever looked at the bottom of a wine bottle and noticed that there's a pretty solid indentation over there, that's called the achar, the backside or the underside of the kli that has a base kibul. So such a thing on klei cheres are also able to be mekabel toma. Now point number three of klei cheres, ve'einun metamin migabehen, they do not become tameh on their outside. If something touches the outside of klei cheres, that's not metamin the inside of a kli. Last obviously, says the Mishnah, Ushvi Rasan, Hita Rasan, the only way to be Mitahar Kli Charas is by breaking it. Other Kalim, if they became Tama, you could just put them in the mikvah, and then they're fine, they're Tahar. Kli Charas, though, they have to be broken in order to be able to Mitahar them. Now, onto Mishnah Beis, we continue with this theme, as we had just said that the only way to Mitahar a Kli Charas is if it breaks. Now, what this Mishnah is going to be talking about is that that's only if it's not usable anymore. However, if a piece remains, which still retains some sort of important use, so it has the din of a Kli, and it could be Makabel Toma. And by that same token, if from the outset a Kli is too small for use, it can't be Makabel Toma. So Mishnah Beis tells us, Hadakin Shabbat Kli Cheres, the smallest of Kli Cheres, Vikar Kroy Sehen, and the bottom, meaning if it breaks, but the bottom still remains, Vidafne Sehen, or the walls of the Kli, meaning even after it broke, we still have some of the walls left, Yashin Shalay Mesumachin, that wall is able to stand or lay down without having to be supported by anything. And all these things that we're referring to over here can still hold some sort of liquid. Shiurun, what is their shear that if they can hold this amount of liquid, it's going to be Makabel Toma, Mechdei Sichas Katon Va'ad Loig, from the size of Sichas Katon until a Loig. What does that mean, Sichas Katon? So literally translated, this means the anointing of a small one. Sicha is anointing. Back in the day, they would take oil and rub it on a person. That was fairly standard practice. And Katon refers to a one-day-old child. In other words, the Mishnah is telling us that if this Kli, or the broken piece of the Kli, is able to hold enough oil to anoint, to rub on the smallest aver of a one-day-old child, so that's considered chashuv, and will be able to be makabel toma. Now, from this size up until loig is one classification or one category. Moving on to the next one, miloig ve'ad saw, if the Kli holds anywhere from a loig up until a saw, and then it breaks, so barvias, the piece remaining from the bottom or from the side of the Kli, has to hold a revias of oil in order to be able to makabel toma. On the next level, misav atzosayim, if this Kli originally held from a saw up until two saw, so then if it breaks, the bottom or the side has to be able to hold b'chatzi loig, a half a leg of oil, in order to be able to makabel toma. And on the next level, misasayim v'ad shalish v'ad chamesh sayin, from two or three saw all the way up until five b'loig, the broken piece has to be able to hold a leg of oil in order to be able to makabel toma. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says, ani eini nosen b'han midah, I don't give measurements like you, Rabbi Shmuel, just gave, a revias, a half a leg, a full leg, el rather, it's just names of kalim, and these are different kalim that they used back in the day, so everyone who was learning this back then knew exactly what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. In regards to us, we aren't 100% clear what he was referring to, because we don't use these types of kalim. However, there have been many people throughout the generations which dedicated a lot of time and energy and focus in trying to understand what these kalim were, and you might even have some handy pictures in the Mishnayos that you're using. And so here goes with Rabbi Kiva's description, Hadak and Shabbat Charas, the smallest Kli Charas, Vikarkar Sehen, and the bottom, Vidafne Sehen, Yashin Shalom Sumachem, and the walls, if they're able to stand or lay down without being supported by anything else. Shir, and what's their shir? Mechdei Sichas Katan, from the size of this tiny little Kli that's able to hold this little bit of oil to smear on a small child. Ve'ad Kederes Hadakos, up until the size of small pots. On the next level, Mechderes Hadakos, Vad Chavias Ludios, from small pots up until barrels made in Lloyd, that's another size. And these broke, Bervias, so a piece remaining has to be able to hold Revias. Miludios Vad Lachmios, if the Kli is anywhere the size from those that are made in Lloyd, up until those made in base lechem, which is larger, so b'chatzi loig, the ability to hold half of a loig, and onto the larger size, milachmiyos v'ad chatzavim gedolim, if the Kli was anywhere between the size of those made in base lechem, all the way up until large barrels, so b'loig, the broken piece has to be able to hold a loig. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Emir, he argues and says, chatzavim gedolim shirin b'shnei lugin, if it's a large barrel and it broke, a piece that's left over has to be able to hold two loig in order to be able to makabel toma. And another din, hapachim haglilim, flasks that come from the Galil, which is northern Eretz Yisrael, and small barrels, shear karkar sehen kol shehen, the shear of the bottom that remains is even just a little bit. It doesn't have to be able to hold more than that, just a little bit. And also, v'ein lehem defonos, we don't pay attention to the walls at all. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if these two kalim broke, and we have a piece of the wall of the Kli, which is able to stand on its own and hold a significant amount of liquid, it doesn't make a difference. Those walls are not able to be makabel toma, only the bottom is. However, we paskin like Rabbi Kiva. And we continue to discuss Kli Cheres, earthenware kalim, and here the Mishnah begins by listing a number of kalim that are not able to be makabel toma in the first place, and this is based off of the first Mishnah in this parak, in which I told us that a Kli can only be makabel toma if it has a toich, if it has it inside, if it has a base kibel, a receptacle, but if it's flat, if it's pashut, so then it can't be makabel toma. So that's what the Mishnah Gimel tells us, ha-tahirin shem Kli Cheres that are tahar, meaning they can't be makabel toma, tavla she'in lo lizbeis, a flat tablet that doesn't have a rim, it doesn't have a lip, for example, a serving tray or a cutting board, umachta perutza, and an open shovel. This is basically basically shaped like a shovel, but it doesn't have the walls around the shovel part. It's just flat, and this is meant for shoveling coals out of an oven. And va'abuv shel kolayim, this disc of sorts for roasters, it was basically a circle-shaped pan that had holes in it that grain or whatnot was placed on top for roasting, and the holes were to enable the fire to go through and roast whatever's on top of it. All these, since they're flat, they're not able to come out tama. Onto another grouping, v'siloinos, aval pikfufin, even if they're bent, afal pi makablin, even though they do have a base kibul, they're a pipe, so they could hold liquid in them, and as we just said, they're bent, so if you have a straight pipe, which is, let's say, bent in the middle, it could hold liquid, no problem. Still, it's not going to be makabel toma, because it's not meant for that. It's just meant to transfer water or liquid from one place to another. Another kli, v'kavkav sha'asoy l'sal hapas, a kavkav, which is the top or the lid that's made for a bread basket. This wasn't a flat lid. It basically was a dome of sorts, and it was dafka made to cover a bread basket, because sometimes a loaf of bread would stick out the top of the basket, but you still want it covered. So you want the lid of your bread basket to be domed, and that means technically, if you invert it, if you turn it upside down, you could put something inside of it. Still, it's not going to be kabel toma because it's not meant for that. Another kli, utfishes kinoi la'anavim, a kli called a tfi or a tefi that was made for grapes. And the reason why this is not makabel toma is because even though the standard tefi does have a base kibul and is meant to place things in, this is referring to a special one which is retrofitted to cover a basket of grapes, and therefore it's not meant to hold anything. It's just meant to use as a cover, so it's not makabel toma. Chavish al shayatim, and a swimmer's barrel. This is basically a hollow barrel that was sealed with air in it so that it floated on the water, helping a person who's learning how to swim. That's basically the old school floaties that we have nowadays, and that's not makabel toma because it doesn't have anything inside. Air is not counted. Chavish defuna b'shulei hamachatz, the barrel which is set in to the bottom of the machatz. The machatz was the kli that was used for transferring the wine from the place where it was pressed into the barrels that it was going to be stored, and at the bottom of this kli, there was some sort of indentation that's being called a chavis, a barrel, that was set into the kli so that a person could put their hand or their finger to help them hold on to the kli. And so that indentation over there is not makabel toma, even though it's a base kibul. Since it's not meant to hold anything, it's not going to be makabel toma. Also, v'hamita, v'akise, v'afsafsal, v'ashochan, a bed, a chair, a bench, or a table, even though they're meant for holding things, they're totally flat and they don't have a base kibul. And v'hasfina, a boat, v'hamanar shalcheres, an earthenware lamp, all of these harelu taharin, they are not makabel toma. And one more thing, zakal, this is the rule, says the Mishnah, kol she'en lo teich v'chei cheres, if this kli cheres, this earthenware kli, does not have a teich, it doesn't have an inside, a base kibul, ein lo achirayim, it doesn't have the din of achirayim. And this is special in regarding kli cheres. As we already said in previous Mishnah, they would not become tamei if tamei touches them from the outside. When it comes to tamei liquids, midrabanan, if a tamei liquid touches the outside of kli cheres, it will be matamei it. However, the Mishnah just told us that if the kli doesn't have a teich, it doesn't have a base kibul, so then it doesn't have the din of achirayim, that tamei liquids that touch the outside or the bottom or the back of it will not be matamei it. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, panos, which means a lantern. In modern day Hebrew, it's actually translated as a flashlight, so it's the same idea. She yeshle base kibul shemen, if it has a place to hold oil, tamei, so it could be makabel toma, but if it doesn't have a place to hold oil, you're just meant to place a candle inside of it or something like that. It's more or less a tray that's covered with something to prevent the wind from blowing out the candle. So tahar, it's not going to be makabel toma because it doesn't have a teich, it doesn't actually have a receptacle to hold anything. Another din, megufas hayotzrin, the special wheel that potters use to make pottery. It's basically a two-part machine that on the bottom has a wheel that's meant for spinning it with one's foot, and then the top part of it has a tray that's connected to the wheel, and that's what the piece of pottery is formed on. So this magufas ayotzrin shehu paiseach ba, the one that he uses to begin forming the kli, tahira, that's not makabel toma because basically just two flat pieces. The bottom is a big flat wheel and the top is a flat tray that the clay is placed on top. But v'shu gaimer ba, the one that he finishes the piece of pottery with, meya, it is makabel toma because this one does have a rim of sorts. It has a base kibul so that he could keep the kli inside of it and it helps him form the kli. So it could be makabel toma because again it has a base kibul. Onto another kli, mashpech, which literally means a funnel in modern day Hebrew as well. A mashpech is a funnel. So here we're going to have a difference. Shalbali batim, if this is just a regular household item that you're going to have in your kitchen, a plain good old funnel, tar, so it's not makabel toma. And that's because, as we know, a funnel doesn't have a teich, it doesn't have a receptacle, it's not meant for holding anything. Even though maybe it looks like it does, it's wide on top and narrow at the bottom, it has a hole at the bottom, so it can't hold anything. You pour liquid in the top and it just flows right out the bottom, so it can't be makabel toma. However, v'shal reichlin, if it's a funnel of peddlers, Tame, so it is makabel tomo. Why is that? Mibnei shu shel mida. That's because it's meant for measuring. Divrei Yudim Maser's opinion. In other words, these reichlin, these people who would peddle different wares, very often they would sell aromatic oil, and they would use their mashbech, their funnel, to measure out oil, not just to transfer it from their large kli into the customer's smaller kli, but they would actually take their mashbech, their funnel, fill it up with liquid, and keep their finger at the bottom to prevent the liquid from leaving. Then they were able to see how much they were measuring out for the customer, and then they would let their finger go, enabling the liquid, the oil, or whatever it is, to flow into the customer's kli. And so since it's meant for measuring, and for that short amount of time, it was actually holding liquid in it, so therefore it could be mekabel toma. However, Rabbi Kiva argues that's not the reason. Even if it wasn't used for measuring at all, it was used for a different purpose. It's because he would tilt it to its side, and he would allow the customer to smell, to give it a scent, a whiff, an aroma. In other words, Rabbi Kiva is saying that the reason why the mashbech is able to be mekabel toma is because the way it was designed is it had a bulge in it, and therefore, if it was tilted to its side a little bit, that would prevent the oil from spilling out the bottom, and it would actually catch the oil in it. It would keep it and hold it, so now the customer could put his nose up to it and smell the aromatic oil and say, delicious, I'd like to buy some of this. And that's considered a base kibul. It's a receptacle. It's meant for holding the oil so the customer could smell it, and that's why it's makabel toma. And this mishnah as well, the halachas of Rabbi Kiva. And we're discussing earthenware kelim, what can be makabel toma, what can't be. Says mishnah, kisui kad yayin kad shemen, the coverings for pitchers of wine or oil, bikisui chavias niyaros, and covers for barrels that are called niyaros because they come from this place called niyar, tahirin, they're not even makabel toma. That's because they're just meant to use as a cover, they're not meant to hold anything, and even though technically they do have a teich, they do have some sort of receptacle, if they're turned over, you could put something into them, since they're just meant to be used as a cover, so they're not makabel toma. However, if they were metuken, if he changed them, or if he just intended to use them for something, meaning he had in mind that now he's actually going to use this cover for something, to hold something in it, to turn it over and put something inside, so in tamim, they could be makabel toma. On to another one, kisui halfas, the cover of a pot or a large pan, that's what halfas is, it's like the word ilfas, which is the same thing. If it has holes in it, or if the top of it ends off in a point, so it can't be makabel toma, because you can't put anything in it. Very often, people in their kitchens have this with the tops of their pots and pans, that the handle of the top is placed in some sort of way that if you turn it over and put it on the counter, it wouldn't be able to stand properly. It would be tilted or sideways or something like that. And so since that can't hold anything, it wouldn't be makabel toma. However, if it doesn't have holes in it, or if it doesn't end off in a point, tame, so it could be makabel toma. Now, why would that be? What use does it have? So Tanakama tells us, that's because a woman, when she takes the vegetables out of the soup or whatever she was cooking in the pot, she puts them inside the overturned cover in order to be able to drain the liquid out of them. So we see that it has a use. It's meant for putting something inside. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek Omer, he says differently. It's not an argument. He's just saying that it has a slightly different use. That's because she takes the runki, which is a whole big clump of vegetables from the pot. She puts them inside. It's not to drain the liquid or anything. It's just to hold the vegetables. And so either which way, this pot cover does have a use, so it would be makabel toma. On to Mishnah Vav, we go back to discussing a din that we've spoken about previously, namely when we have a kli charas, which did have a use, and then it broke, so we have a gistera, which is a broken piece of that kli. If that gistera has a use, so then it will be makabel toma. If not, then it doesn't. Now here we have an interesting case. Gistera shemitzes bekivshon, a broken piece of pottery that was found in the kivshon. Now the kivshon is the kiln, K-I-L-N, and that's a special oven which is used for making pottery. Basically, they would take special clay, form it into whatever kli they wanted, then they put it inside this kiln, bake it at a very high temperature, and that gives it the hardness of the earthenware kli, and then it's able to be used. So a piece of broken pottery was found inside the kivshon, and so it really depends. Ad shelo nigmar melachta tahira, mishenigmar melachta tameya. If this piece had broken off of the main kli before it reached gmar melacha, meaning before the piece of earthenware was fired up in the kiln, so then this broken piece is tahir, it's not makabel toma, because it didn't actually come from a fully made kli. Only if the kli was finished being made, it was completed, it was inside the kiln, it was baked, and then it was ready to be used as a classic earthenware kli, if then a piece broke off of it, okay, so it would be considered a gistra, and it could still be makabel toma. But if this piece broke off beforehand, before it was fired up and made into a kli, so it's not makabel toma. It's only after gemar melacha, so it would be makabel toma. Onto another din, titrice, which is a very interesting type of kli. It basically has a narrow top, wide bottom, with a whole bunch of little holes in the bottom. What they would do is fill it with water, and then when a person's finger is placed over the top, covering the hole, none of the water is able to fall out all the tiny little holes on the bottom. You can even try this at home if you maybe have a plastic water bottle that has a very narrow top. You can take a needle and poke a whole bunch of holes in the bottom, fill it with water, and then put your thumb inside, or just place your hand over the top so that there's no air that's able to get in. None of the water is going to leak out the bottom. So that's what this kli was. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok matar. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok says it's not able to be mekabel toma. That's because it's not able to hold any water. The moment you take your finger off of it, all the water drips out the bottom through those little holes, and so it can't hold anything. Or Rabbi Yossi matar. Rabbi Yossi says it is mekabel toma. Why is that? Mnei shehu kimotzi prutos. That's because even when the water does come out, it comes out so little at a time, it's like little prutas, tiny little drops one at a time, because again, the holes at the bottom of the kli are very thin, therefore it is considered to be designed for holding something, and so it could be mekabel toma. Now in this Mishnah, we're going to be discussing klei cheres that are able to be mekabel toma, and some of them are very similar to the ones we've mentioned previously, but there's just going to be slight modifications to them, which is what's going to make them be able to be mekabel toma. Hatmein shebe klei cheres, says the Mishnah, those that are tame among klei cheres, tavla, shiyesh lo lizveis, a flat tablet, like a tray of sorts, that does have a rim around it that now makes it have a toich, an inside, it's a base kibul, so it could be mekabel toma. Also, umachta shlema, a regular shovel that has walls around the shovel, like a classic shovel that has a base kibul, so it's mekabel toma. Also, the tavla shimalea ka'aros, we have a flat tablet, this flat thing that's full of bowls. Imagine you have a flat tray that has a bunch of bowls connected to it, and again, all these are made out of cheres, so those bowls, since they have a toich, they have an inside, they're mekabel toma. Now, here's something unique about it. Nitmes achas mayan b'sharetz. If one of these bowls became tummy with a sharetz, because a sharetz went into the airspace of it, so loy nitmu kulam, all the other bowls that are all attached to the same tray are not tame. That's because they're all their own individual things. They all happen to be attached to the same tray, but they're still their own things. However, im yesh lo lizbeis oidef, if this tray had a lip, had a wall that went above where the bowls did, let's say the walls of the bowls were 2 inches high, but the wall of this entire tray was 3 inches high, so the wall went higher than all the bowls. Nitmachas mehen, nitmu kulon, if one of them became tame, all of them are tame. That's because the sharetz, as it went down into the airspace of the bowl, it really went into the airspace of the entire kli, this entire tray, because again, the walls of the tray are higher than the walls of the bowl, so everything would be tame here. Onto two more kelim, have a similar din. V'chein beis tavlon shel cheres ve'kalmarim hametu amos. The same thing would be with a spice holder that's made out of cheres and a kalmar that has different sections. A beis tavlon is a space container, which is pretty simple. It basically just has a flat bottom, and let's say it has 2, 3, 4, 6 compartments in the top that would be used for putting spices in them. It's the same exact thing. Each one of those sections for the spices is its own individual thing. However, if it has a lip going above those sections, so then if a sharetz goes into one, it's been timing the whole thing. And the next thing, kalmarim hametu amos, actually has a similar word in Hebrew. When kids bring pencil cases to school, so that pencil case is called a kalmar because it has sections in it to put different pens and pencils and erasers and whatnot. And this kalmar over here of the Mishnah is referring to what scribes, what cipherim would use, kind of similar to what you might have on your desk at home or at the office, that sectional container that has place for pens and pencils and staplers and whatever it is, so they would keep their different feathers and quills and writing implements and ink and whatnot inside all these different things, and has the same exact din as a spice container. Moving on, ubeis tavlin shel eitz, let's say we have a wooden spice container, shenitma echer b'mashke, that one of those containers, one of those sectional compartments, became tame with liquid, which is metame only the inside and not the outside, so loinit mechaveroi, the other sections don't become tame, because as we just said, it's only metame, the walls of the actual one that it touched, and not any other one. Now, if you think about it, the inner wall of the one that was touched by tame liquid is the outer wall of the one next to it, and when liquid touches the outer wall, it's not metame yet, so that's why the other ones aren't tame. However, Rabbi Yechon Nuri says, chalkenis avyoi, we split the thickness, hamishamish latame tame, hamishamish latar tar, the part that's being used by the tame one is tame, and the one that's being used by the tar one is tar. In other words, what Rabbi Yechon Nuri is saying is that let's say the wall in between the two compartments is 2 inches thick. So we divide that in half, and only 1 inch of that is tame, because that's considered to be part of the one that has a tame liquid in it, whereas the other inch is really considered to be the wall of the neighboring one, and so that one is not tame, as opposed to chamim, who would hold that the entire thickness of that wall is tame. And once again, we say, im yesh lo lizbeis oidef, if it has a lip or a wall rising above all these compartments, nitma echmehen, nitma chaveroi, if one of them becomes tame, so then all of them are tame. Moving on to Mishnah Ches with more kelim, halapid tame. Lapid in modern day Hebrew is translated as a torch, and that's exactly what this is. Basically, it was a kli that was very wide on top and extremely narrow and pointed on the bottom. This pointed part was placed inside the top of a hollow pole. Imagine your broomstick is hollow at the top. Some broomsticks actually are hollow at the top, and you take this pointed kli, it kind of looks like an ice cream cone, inside the top of that hollow broomstick, oil and a wick are placed inside of it, and then it's used literally as a lapid, as a torch. You can raise it very high in the air as you're walking in the darkened streets and mountain pathways, and it provides a lot of light for you at quite a distance. So this lapid is tamei, and the chiddush is that even though its bottom ends in a very sharp point, like we said, kind of an ice cream cone, and if you wanted to put it on the table, it wouldn't be able to stand, so you might say it's similar to the pot covers of two mishnayos ago, that if you turn them over, they wouldn't be able to stand. Over here, it is tamei because it's designed to be placed in the hollowed out broomstick pole thing, and that's why it's mekabel tamei. Moving on to the next thing, ubeis shikoy shel ner metame ba'avir. The holder for a lamp is metame in its airspace. Now, what's this referring to? So back in the day, their lamps were pretty simple devices. It was basically an earthenware bowl that you'd put oil and a wick in, but also had a stand. In other words, you wouldn't just take this simple lamp device and put it on the table. You'd put it on like a little mini plate or bowl to hold it. And this base sheka, this little holder, had a very slight indentation. It was really very tiny. Nonetheless, it still is mekabel tamei in its airspace because it does have this small indentation and it's meant for holding something. And onto one more kli, hamasrik shel tzartzur, the comb of a tzartzur, Rabbi Elazar matar v'cham metamen. Now, what's this referring to? So actually, this kli would probably be best described as the old school water bottle. They had a kli cheres that was meant for putting water in and drinking out of. Now, the top of this kli basically had a cover or a plug that had little holes in it. That's prevent dirt and bugs and whatnot from getting inside the drinking water, and you could still drink from it because it had little holes, so the water would come out of the holes. Pretty handy water bottle. Now, what they used to do in order to add a little bit of spunk and pizzazz to this water bottle, at the top of it, jutting above the actual mouthpiece, was like a crown of sorts, or as the Mishnah calls it, a masrik, teeth-like things that kind of looked like a comb that were jutting outwards and upwards. Again, this was meant to be nice for design. The question is, let's say tamei went into the airspace of this comb, crown, pokey thing coming out the top of this water bottle, is that metame it or not? So Rabbi Elazar says it's not able to be mekabel tamei. That's because, as we just said, it's only made for design. It's not meant to hold anything. So tamei going in its airspace is not going to metame it. Whereas the chamim say it is mekabel tamei because at the end of the day, it's part of the water bottle, and the water bottle has a toich, it has a base kibul, it's meant to hold things. And therefore, even though the tamei just went into the airspace of those teeth, of that crown sticking out the top of the bottle, it's still going to be mekabel tamei. Now, in the previous parakim, we had learned that a kli cheres, if it becomes tamei, the only way to be metare it is breaking it. You can't put it in the mikvah, that doesn't work. However, now we're going to learn of another way to metare it, namely, if it has a hole in it, and now it's not able to be used properly, so that's also going to be metare it. So Mishnah begins with one opinion, which is very general. Shir kli cheres latahir, the shir of kli cheres, that you have to make a hole in it in order to metare it. Ha'asui la'achlim, shir b'zeisim. If it's meant for holding food, so the shir is with olives, which means if it's meant for holding food, even if it's a little bit bigger than olives, for example, dried figs or nuts, all one has to do is make a hole in it, which an olive can fit through, and that's enough to be metare the kli. Now, also the mashkin, if it's meant for holding liquid, shir b'mashkin, so the shir is liquid. Now, it's important to note that in regards to the liquids, the shir that the hole has to be is not the size that would allow liquid to escape from the kli, rather it's called kikoinus mashket. It has to be a size that would enable liquid to go into the kli. For example, if you have a bowl of liquid and then you put the kli inside of it, will that liquid go inside the kli? And that's a little bit bigger than mitzi mashkin, letting liquid out of it. And also lekach ulekach, if it's something that can hold both liquids and solids, for example, a pot, you cook food in a pot with both the food itself, that's the eichlin, and then you also put liquid inside, that's the mashkin. We go with the more chomer size, which is it has to have a hole the size of an olive.